Begin with a word of prayer, and we are in the midst of studying why Christians experience stress and anxiety and depression, and there's a lot more of that going on. Hey there, Jim. Got some stuff for you tonight. And it is increasing, the number of Christians, and I think it's going to get worse as far as the condition and circumstances of our society, but God has given a very simple answer, and that's what we're looking at. So let's begin tonight with a word of prayer, orienting ourselves to how, when everything's going wrong, you two can be happy and make everybody wonder why you're happy. So let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in the time of great difficulty when we get to examine what we really believe, not in the prosperous times, not when everything is going well, but when it looks like you're not there. When it looks like, Heavenly Father, not only do you not love, it looks like you have turned against us. It's when things happen in society. Those who were by design given to encourage us, protect us, support us, become those who damage our lives, if not even our bodies as children. And then we grow and marry, and the one person on all planet Earth that is to support and encourage and love becomes our enemy. And all of these things that happen in society, America that we live in today, with constant fear of attacks of terrorism, snipers, war, all of these things start weighing heavy on the soul, and all of a sudden we see stress, and so many Christians experience depression. I pray, Heavenly Father, that tonight the Spirit will lead me in the things you would have me to say, in examining the scriptures that are before us, and what kind of God you really are in these times in our life. Father, I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. We've been studying where stress, anxiety, and depression or sad comes. But by way of introduction tonight, I want to start off with why. Why all these things have to happen? Why little boys are molested, not just by priests, but by other people, and why little girls are raped and their bodies abused when they're just getting old enough to know what it's about in any way. And that's where it starts. And why families have to end up being the source of so much misery. Why husbands and wives cause each other so much turmoil that it leaves great scars and anger, hate, and the seven-headed dragon that we've been studying in our soul. Why does all this have to be? Why does sad exist in the world with everyone? Why do we have to experience these things? Why do we have to suffer these things financially? Just in dreams, simple dreams and hopes crushed in life. Why? People, let's turn first of all to 2 Corinthians 10, so we're on the same page. Pretty cool. So we're on the same page of the Bible. Let's look at it. There you go, Steve. Good. I was wondering if you're going to let us show your Bible. Get your own Bible. why do all these things have to happen, people? Well, he tells us right there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, we're in a war. You are in a war. And believe it, it is, I just can't even emphasize how important it is to remember that you're in a war. And whether you like it or not, You might be a real pacifist, and you don't want a war. And so you don't want a war. But you're in a war. I'm sorry. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are in a war. You're in a conflict. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you are making an attempt to walk by faith in the Spirit, you are really in a war. You have put yourself into a center of it. And why can I say that? I say that for this reason. Because that is the only power on planet Earth more powerful than the adversary, than Satan, the ruler of the world, the ruler of the powers of darkness. And if you can think with me just for a moment, I'd be sure I didn't have that arm. If you think with a moment, he's got to stop that. And that's why denominations, movements, people, individual pastors, elders, if you can just get you being, he doesn't care how religious you are, as long as you don't know how to tap into that power that is greater than he is. Because once you do that, then obviously you are more powerful than even the ruler of the world is. So please realize that we are in a war. And as I said, like it or not, you're in one. And that's what we're looking at. Now, if you look at 2 Corinthians 10:3, we live in the flesh. That's our human body. The time that we're here on earth, we live in the flesh. But we do not war. That's the first time he's gone 10 chapters, isn't that interesting, without mentioning this. And now all of a sudden he just pulls this word. It's understood by so many Christians that we're in this war. We do not war according to the flesh. Now, this is the kind of thing that's done with other kind of studies, but the more that I have studied SAD, go on, how you doing, man? Studied stress, anxiety, and depression, these things, these verses that we're looking at take on a whole different concept for me. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 6 for a moment, please. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. A familiar verse. 2 Corinthians 10:3. Yes, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians is one of the most difficult books to outline in the Bible. And the reason for that is Paul just talked. And you know, you talk to some people, preachers, a lot of ladies, a lot of men. It's not just a lady thing. Sometimes they just ramble. And you kind of scratch your head. Where are we going in this conversation? Well, that's the way he wrote 2 Corinthians. It is extremely difficult to outline because it really doesn't follow any outline. And now, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 is a familiar passage to a lot of people, but let's look at it in a different way tonight and put some study of stress, anxiety, and depression with it. Verse 12, for our struggle. Struggle. It goes along with the study of the word war in 2 Corinthians 10. And there are a lot of words that I could do with this. And I want these to be very vivid to you in your daily life. This is not theology. This is not some mystical or some type of a study of the angelic conflict out there. No, this is what we live. This is why Christians end in divorce. This is why husbands abuse and so horribly affect a woman's soul. This is why women abuse and so adversely affect a man's soul. This is why parents treat children the way they do. As Christians, I'm not talking about the world out there. I'm talking about the body of Christ. This is why we hurt each other so much. We're in a struggle. War, 2 Corinthians, struggle. For our struggle is not, look at it, against flesh and blood, but it is against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Well, how in the world am I supposed to fight against someone I can't even see? It's one thing to fight my wife. It's one thing to fight my husband, my children, my parents, co-workers, even my dog. It's one thing to fight other Christians. But to struggle against that which I can't even see. And that's what this verse says. And it says, this is our struggle. I know what's going on today, and I know a lot of people think that these Roman Catholic priests are the enemy, the parents that abuse children, people that come in and abuse children, families that abuse their own children in one way or another, neglect, control, shame, no good, loser, husbands, wives, in the local church. I know we think that those are the enemies, but look at the Bible. The enemy that we're struggling against is not flesh and blood. We struggle against that which we can't even see. And that changes the ballgame, people. That changes the rules. That changes everything. The word for struggle here in Ephesians 6:12 that causes so much as SAD in your life, stress, anxiety, depression, is the Greek word pale, P-A-L-E, transliterated. And the word means to shake. To vibrate. It's a use of wrestlers, athletic wrestlers. It's used of hand-to-hand combat of soldiers. But let me tell you what I want you to get about this word. That's very important to you. The important thing about this word, as opposed to many other words that we have in the Greek that deal with this type of concept, this word denotes the struggle between individual combatants, as opposed to an army, as opposed to a whole squad or unit or company. This word talks about, that's why it's used of wrestlers. This is individual combat. You are in combat. Don't argue with it. Don't fight it. You are in it. You are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against the invisible, the supernatural beings and their structure. Don't try to solve your problems with the wisdom of the flesh. I cannot overstress what we did last week, or 2 weeks ago, having last week off, I was in Tucson. I cannot stress it. A lot of Christians, and this study has taken me to these places. We were studying stress, anxiety, and depression in the soul, and we're looking at 2 Corinthians 10, where it tells us we're going to tear down the fortresses in our soul by divinely given power. And yet Christians, and I want to emphasize this, and I'll do it occasionally. It's been 2 weeks since we saw it at this time. Well, I'm going to learn lots of Bible doctrine, and I'm going to apply it. I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to read Frederick the Great, and Sun Tzu, and Alexander the Great, and all the tactics and strategists of military history, and I'm going to engage in this battle. People, you're going to lose. This is not fought that way. Read the Bible. This is a spiritual warfare with invisible combatants. And you're not going to out-strategize, if that be the word, of Satan and what he's doing in your own soul. You're not going to solve stress, anxiety, and depression with those things. I am sorry. They are fun. They are challenging. They are stimulating. I've got probably over 5,000 books on setting of strategies and tactics and all of this kind of stuff. It is exciting. But don't try to relate that to your spiritual warfare. You'll lose. What do we have? 2 Corinthians 10:4, divinely given power. The Holy Spirit. That's how we're going to tear down the fortresses of our soul that have been built up with Satan's lies and caused the hurt and the pain and stress and depression. You're in a combat. You're fighting invisible, supernatural beings who have been around through all human history. You won't even begin. You'll be like a cadet in an elementary school against one of the great generals of history if you're going to try to out maneuver. 2 Corinthians 10, you're in a war. Ephesians chapter 6, You are in individual combat. Hal Lindsey put out a book called Combat Faith. Excellent title, because that's how we're going to do it, by faith. The enemy is not your parents. I know it seems like they are when they call you a loser, make you feel inadequate. There are so many Christians that are afraid to do anything because their parents have convinced them they're no good. They're losers. And so, well, if I'm a loser, I'm just going to not try to really put myself out there because I fail, and mom and dad will know it, and then it's just, so forget it. I'm going to shut up and shut down and just kind of go through life because I know I can't make it. They've already proved that to me. What a tragedy to do that in the soul. And husbands do it to wives, wives to husbands, parents to children, friends, Christians do it in the church. I'll come to that when we study Job and his three friends. You as a Christian are going to experience all kinds of sufferings, all kinds of wrongs, all kinds of failures, all kinds of sufferings in your life. You cannot prevent these, but you can prevent them from turning into stress and depression in your life. I had a very dear friend call me this week crying. This lady has just been fighting. I won't go through everything, but just been fighting about her home, her children, and has come into contact with all of the horrors of dealing with a whole bunch of different lawyers and advisors and different types of things going on. And I was listening, and she used a key phrase that really helped me to help her. And she said, I gotta continue on this. I know I'm going to lose. It's going to be another 2 years, because it's just so immoral and unfair. And I said, then you shouldn't be fighting. If you're fighting because it's immoral or unfair, you're going to lose. Every now and then, we all like the story. I like the story. What's her name? Bonovich. That Julie Roberts did a movie on, Aaron Bonovic. And we like that. Boy, she took on the wrong, and she won. Boy, it makes a great movie, especially with Julie Roberts. Makes a great movie. We like that. And so we're going to go out, and we're going to straighten it out. You're not going to. Because the world, this is the kingdom of darkness. He is the ruler. And so many people end up, that's what I said here, so many sufferings because we are in this battle. Now, you can't prevent that, but you can prevent sad in your soul. You've got to realize who the enemy is and who the enemy isn't. The power of darkness, invisible but real. And so we have to understand that aspect of the war that we are involved with. Against, look at the Ephesians passage now, 6:12, against the rulers, power, world forces of darkness. That's a network that Satan has set up to keep you depressed. That is a network that Satan has set up. Forces of darkness is a network that Satan has put up to keep you living in Satan's lie. It comes in whole different ways, religious, spiritually, in the world. It's Satan's lie. Against the spiritual forces of wickedness. Look at the words we have. We have darkness, wickedness, those kinds of things in the heavenly places. People, Alexander the Great was great. Let me tell you one of the things that made Alexander the Great great. He was a genius in sensing the battlefield immediately. Unlike very few men in all history, he could make snap decisions sensing what was going to happen on this battlefield. Where was the mountain? Where was the river? Where was the woods? Where was this? Where was that? Immediately. Other people may come to the same conclusion after getting all the maps out on front. He didn't have all those. He didn't have maps. He would just look and make decisions and direct his forces and win. How are you going to do that in heavenly places? Any of you can do that? There are no trees. There are no mountains. There are no rocks. There are no bridges. the heavenly places. Forget it. It's just wide open. I can't fight there. How I wish that it was something on the earth that we could fight. Then we could use our flesh power. No. Look where they are, in the heavenly places. So he's got this whole network to destroy your soul, building fortresses in your soul that will destroy you, and his place of operation is in the heavenly places. You're going to be tempted to sin. You're going to be lured to sin. Many will sin. The adversary is going to bring you to sin, failure. He will bring you down. He will cause you to sin. And the more you attempt to walk by the faith in the Holy Spirit, the more your name's going to be called to destroy you. We studied this some time ago with Peter, Job, David, so many believers. He will get you to sin and fail. He uses that now. Let me tell you what he does. He gets you to sin and fail, and then he's got you working under Satan's lie that my self-worth is my performance plus others' opinion of me. So obviously if you sin, people's opinion of you is going to go way down. Your performance is going to be challenged by yourself. Then he's going to convince you, see, you're no good. He did this with Job. Study of Job is tremendous on how he builds these fortresses in the soul that we're studying that produce stress, anxiety, and depression inside of us. So he gets you to, first of all, accept Satan's lie, live by Satan's lie, then he brings you down. And then all your friends get to judge, malign, and attack. So there goes what? The whole second half is God, people's opinion of you. Now you're a death. You can't perform. Your performance is horrible. So you're neutralized. This is what he did with Peter. Christ in his love came and restored him immediately. But he gets us to sin. People, this is why I encourage you as a Christian in dealing with each other in your assembly, in your home, at work. Do not judge each other and malign like Job's three friends. Why we serve one another in love, restore one another. Because if we don't, all these things are just going to keep bringing down members of the body of Christ. Satan will try his best. His forces of darkness will try their best to assault your marriage, your children, your family, your church. Don't understand what happened to our marriage. I know what happened to your marriage. I know what happened. And you can sit there, well, I didn't love her enough, and I didn't do this enough. But no! Not what happened to your marriage. Quit giving this long list of stuff. What happened to your marriage is that you're in a spiritual warfare and you didn't know it. And you didn't protect what's yours. That's what happened to it. And as soon as Christians start grasping this, instead of trying to look, I didn't do this and I did do that. Even to the extreme, I had an affair. That's what happened to my marriage. No, that is not what happened to your marriage. I'm sorry. What happened to your marriage is a spiritual conflict. And the adversary brought you down. Because he wants to destroy it. And he filled the other person with Satan's lie so that there was no alternative but to destroy. Christians are the only army where we shoot our own people. We love doing it too. Makes us feel better. But it gets you to do these things. To try his best to assault your marriage, your children, your view of yourself as a Christian, your church. I'm reading a book right now that I'll be sharing with you, but the author encourages the people to seek out in the local church, to seek out the accusers, not the sinners. And it's a great case that it is the accusers to destroy and divide a church, not the sinners. Those who like to accuse, the accusers are sent by the adversary to do their work in the church. Satan is, what is he called? He's called the accuser. And he sends out other Christians to go into the church and to seek out sinners and accuse them. This man does an excellent job in pointing out we ought to seek out not the sinners in the church, but the accusers in the church. No pastor in Oklahoma City, he's made his mission to go to churches and help divide and split them. His mission, to go places. He goes to other states, goes wherever he can to lead the accusers in how to divide a church and how to split it, how to split Christians. It's doing Satan's work. Satan is the accuser. And all of this, what this does, it causes a great amount of stress, anxiety, and depression in Christians. Causes this type of hurt that we're looking at. So people, I beg you, hear and untake. If you're experiencing stress, anxiety, and depression in your life, as a Christian, if you're a Christian, please first of all realize you are in a war, a struggle. The adversary wants to keep you from being who you are in Jesus Christ. So you're in a struggle, and God wants you to know how to war. And that's what we're studying, how to solve this problem. Take a look with me at Acts chapter 14. I'm not going to do every one of the passages by no means in the Bible, but I think there's some you should be aware of if you're experiencing stress and depression and things going on in your life. Why? Remember what we're looking at. We've been studying where it comes from and what we're going to do about it, but I'm just dealing with when you cry at night. And only a few people know what I'm talking about. When you cry in the middle of the night, why? Why is this happening to my life and my marriage and my home, my whole circumstance? Why is God letting this happen? That's when you know you're really hurting, when you cry out in the middle of the night. Why? You're not really ready yet for the solution. You're just crying, why? That's what we're looking at. The first thing I want you to realize is that you are in a war if you're a Christian. You're in a struggle. Okay, Acts chapter 14. Please look at me at verse 22. Acts chapter 14, 22. Coming off of verse 21, it doesn't break the context. To just read verse 22. The disciples here have been sent out to do what? Strengthening the souls of the disciples. Disciples here refers to other believers. And dear people, look at that. Strengthening the soul, not accusing, not running down, not calling names. You're a loser. I know preachers that do that. You're a loser! They love it. They love calling names. But if you look at the text, look what it says. Strengthening the souls of believers. Look at the second word. Encouraging them. Not maligning them. Praising them. Encouraging them. These are things that I hope your parents, if you're a parent, you're looking maybe at the way you've been treating the children. Look at what God does with us. He strengthens when we fail. The sin. He doesn't call us losers and cast us out. That's what Satan does. He's the accuser. Strengthening the souls of the believers, the disciples here, encouraging them to what? To continue walking by faith. Continue trusting when there's no reason to trust him. I know how some people are feeling tonight. There's just no fill-in-the-blank reason to trust God. God does not love me. If he did, these things would not be as bad as they are. I cannot take one more thing. I'm crying now. So God, don't tell me about God. And these are the kind of people who don't need to be, hey, straighten up, brace yourself, put yourself up by bootstrap. This kind of garbage. This says strengthen, encourage, continue walking in faith. Saying this, look what he says. Through many tribulations. Look at that word. I want you to see that word. Think about it. Through many. Note that word too. That may be worse than the word tribulation. It's the word many. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. It's one thing to hear about other tribulations, but boy, when it happens to us, and stress and anxiety and depression start being our solution. That's a whole different deal. The Greek word for tribulation, thalipsis, T-H-L-I-P-S-P-I-S-I-S, thalipsis. Let me tell you what it means. Write them down. Here's where the stress, anxiety, and depression come from if we don't know how to handle it. Pressure. The word means pressure. Affliction. Burden. Tribulation. Trouble. squeezed. Break. Words don't mean something to a lot of you. But I know they're going to mean something to some tapers and some people here. Every one of those words describe what's going on. Pressure, affliction, burden, tribulation, trouble. Squeezed to where there's no life in you, to the point of breaking. These words, people, these words are the volcanic type of pressure that just starts pushing up in our soul with this, these fortresses that we're studying. This is just the volcanic pressure that starts pushing up those fortresses that push up SAD into your souls, into your mind. They become vivid. So look at the verse again. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Why, God? Why must I experience this? And I tell you another part that I've learned that's difficult with this. Those that experience this, you look around, and why isn't it happening to anyone else? Well, first of all, it is. But they're probably not right in your vicinity. But it is happening to others. So just be aware of that. One of the things with Elijah. Elijah thought, boy, it's just you and me, God. That's when he went and ran and hid in the cave. Nobody else on earth but you and me, God. No, there were a lot of other people. Right where Elijah was. But it does seem like you're the only one. Job. Take all the people on earth at the time of Job. We know about one. One man, Job. These things started happening too. So strengthening the souls and the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith. People, that's what we're to do. If you want to be what God wants you to be in regard to friends and relatives and people in the church and family, strengthen and encourage them to continue to walk in faith, because therein lies the solution. Saying through many tribulations, through many pressures, afflictions, burdens, trouble, we must enter the kingdom of God. You can't avoid them. You cannot avoid them. Dave Smith and I, several years ago, took a little trip up to Colorado. And we had more fun just traveling together, but you travel up to various parts of Colorado, and every now and then, you come up in the mountain, and you see this house. Now, we saw the house because we were lost and we needed directions. But seriously, you drive up there, and it's really interesting. You go in, you're not going to go in, you go in, and they're selling little artifacts. That's how they pick up just a few bucks to buy a few things. And very modest living, nice place, very modest living. And then as Dave and I drove away, you know, we said, they have no idea there's a conflict. They have no idea there's a war. They have no idea there's anything going on in the world. They're totally happy up there. They have run from the world. And as long as they can sell a picture or something they've made enough to go buy a few groceries, they're totally happy in the human realm. But people, that's not what we're talking about. You cannot avoid, if you are a believer in Christ, this warfare. You're not going to be able to avoid it, but I want to tell you what you can avoid. You can avoid these things bringing stress, anxiety, and depression into your life. And that's what I hope we'll do in this study. Afflicted as a child, burden in the world, finance, and people, we have a power inside of us to take care of all of this. Please look with me, one more passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. God has given us things not to avoid the struggle. You're not going to. Now, why does it look like somebody makes it through life and never has any? Oh, well, they made all the right decisions. No, 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 no. You know, people, we have the wrong ideal about Christianity. A lot of people have the ideal about, you really know you're living a Christian life and nothing bad happens in your life. And you just, everything is wonderful. You're so far from the truth, it is amazing how far from the truth you are. That's like saying you're a great soldier in the military, but you're never in a war. That just means you're good on the parade field. I forgot the show, but I remember seeing a show, and the guy with his funny lines just throughout it, at the pertinent points, he would say, but I look good in a parade. in the military. I look good. Boy, I have a great jig line, and man, my brass is shining, and I look good. And I know how to, I want to use a dirty word that we use in the military, but I want to do good to all the officers above me, and man, I may get impressed. That doesn't mean anything. You've never been in the foxhole. You've never been in the battle. So we don't want to hear about it. We don't want to hear about your parades. There are a lot of people who spend their lives going on a parade and they're held out as great Christians. No, they're not. People will tell you something that's in the midst of the greatest of the battles in your spiritual life. When you're walking in the Spirit, that spiritual love shines. It doesn't shine in a parade line. It doesn't shine in the chow line. It shines when you're down in the foxhole and you're hurt. It shines when you're eating sea rations and it's raining on them. That's when you find out where the fruit of the Spirit really work. When you're in the midst of all of this hurt and your parents and your friends and your husband and your wife and everything's gone, and people at the church and on and on and on. But you dare to walk by faith in the Spirit of the living God. And He starts pouring in these things and they start coming out from you, and there is no reason why they should be coming out from you. But they're coming out because you're trusting Him. That's when these things shine. That's when they shine. People would all like to live a life where you just go through the whole life, from birth to the grave, and just enjoy life. Never enter the battle. But kid yourself that you're in it because you look good in parades. Because you know a lot of doctrine. Because you're morally righteous. Because you're charismatic and have a second experience. And a third and a fourth, and you speak in tongues. Because you serve God, and everybody's talking about how you're on this committee and how you do that and this. So you look good in the parade line. And when it comes down to the real battle, you don't even know what it is to trust Him. When there's no reason to trust Him. You don't know what it's like to cry in the middle of the night and think God doesn't even care. But like David said, I'm still going to trust you. Where else would I go? I'd like to get out of here. I'd like to run. My family's treating me this way. My parents, my husband, my wife, society, bills. I just want to run. I got a question. Where are you going to run? That's what I have to say to you. Where are you going to run? Peter said it well. Where would we go? If we left you, God, where would we go? If only you have the answers. You have the words of eternal life. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:8. But since we are of the day of the battle, the war, the struggle, let us be sober. Now that doesn't mean don't take a drink. Get some Baptist on this one and boy, here comes this booze message. Man, here's the booze message. No, it's not what sober means. Sober means spiritually sober. It means alert that you are in. You are in a spiritual combat. And you've got to be by faith, moment by moment by moment. You are in the red position 24 hours a day. Let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith. I don't have time to tell you what a breastplate is. I hope you understand how important it is. Breastplate protects the vital area of your heart. And when the arrow or the sword strikes the chest, the breastplate protects you. And what is that breastplate that's going to protect us? Faith and blood that go together. Helmet, the hope of salvation, deliverance, not salvation, eternal life, hope of deliverance in time. I want to go back to 2 Corinthians, but look back at Ephesians chapter 6 with me again, please. Ephesians chapter 6, one more time. What am I doing tonight? I'm taking your time while you're in the midst of hurting to help you a little bit with that question that you cry out in the middle of the night that Habakkuk cried out. Habakkuk did what you did. David's done what you're doing. I know other Christians will judge you. Well, if you had a lot of doctrine, you'd understand why all this is happening. You just need to learn more. Don't buy into all that. Don't be intimidated by arrogance. David cried the same thing you're crying. Habakkuk, a lot of the prophets. Why? Why does all this have to be in the world today? Why does all this stuff have to happen? Aren't we all? I hope every one of you are prone to ask, why do little children have to be molested by adults? A man and a woman that get themselves in that jam, we take another look at it and we handle it a little different. He and she were maybe where they shouldn't have been or whatever. But a little child. We ask, why does a young teenager have to be reared by a parent that calls them losers? You're no good. You're ugly. You're this. You're that. You're never going to amount to anything. Why do people have to be married to people that hurt them and tear them down? What I'm dealing with is that question, because people were in a struggle. I'm sorry. God is not the ruler of the kingdom of the world right now. Jesus Christ is gone. He is not here. He is in heaven. He has left you in the guarding and caring hands of His Holy Spirit. Not the world, you. He will come back and take care of the world. But right now, He's not here. He has left you in the caring hands of the Holy Spirit. He is the keeper of the sheep during the time and the period of darkness. The darkness is the period of the rulership of Satan on earth. So, that's the power you and I have to tear down these struggles. So, but since we are of the day, let us be sober. I want to tell you, we've read this, 1 Thessalonians. Having put on the breastplate of faith, and I hope you've done that, walking by faith in the Holy Spirit, therefore producing love, and the helmet of the hope of salvation, that's the confidence of deliverance. Ephesians chapter 6, let's just read from verse 10. Finally, sometimes people get upset with preachers after they talk for about 55 minutes to an hour, and then they go, finally. Finally, we should have been final 20 minutes ago. Finally, not quite through. Finally, and it doesn't mean it that way. Let me tell you what this means. Pulling it all together. That's what the word finally means. It doesn't mean finally as in time. Finally here means now I'm going to pull all this together, all that we've been studying, and put it together for you. Be strong in the Lord. Now, if we were exegeting, I wouldn't just jump through things. I'd show you how he explains it in this passage or in this book. Strong in the Lord is a phrase for walking in the power of the Spirit. For the strength of the Lord is the Spirit. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, Holy Spirit. Put on the full armor of God. Now, people, you're not going to tear down the fortresses in your soul, and you're not going to combat the powers of darkness with the energy of the flesh and the wisdom of the flesh and the thinking of the flesh. You've got to put on this armor that you may be able to do what? To stand firm against the schemes of the devil. He wants to take you down. He wants you to stay in stress and depression. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, or against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, since that's our struggle, be strong in the Lord, because this is the struggle. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to do what? Resist in the evil day. That's the day that you live in. And having done everything, to do what? To fight the enemy? No. To learn strategies against the enemy? No. To stand firm. To stand still. Then he picks it up in verse 14. Stand firm, therefore. How do you stand firm? Faith. Having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, now see, that you already have on. Notice that. You've already got all the. Now, verse 16. In addition to all, now take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. Not by strategy, doctrine, battles, strength. Look what it says. By faith. Trusting God. Dear people, let me tell you why you're suffering tonight in stress, anxiety, and depression. It's not because of who and what you are. It's because of who and what Jesus Christ is. You're being hit because of who He is. Let Him fight the battle. Let Him fight it. You just stand still. It's His battle. He will fight it for you if you let Him. I know a lot of people say, yeah, battle is the Lord. Stand still. Let the Lord fight it. And then they go out and want to try to outmaneuver the enemy. You can't do both. Either decide if you want to take on the powers of darkness, you can outthink them, or stand still and trust Him. Let Him take care of these things. And the more as we do this, I'm going to show you how stress, anxiety, and depression fade into the shadows. Continuing our reading now, therefore, take up the full armor of God. Verse 16, in addition to all of the above that you've already done, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles. What are the flaming missiles? People, the flaming missiles are those things that build up the strongholds in our souls, the fortresses in our souls. That's what they are. I take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which I want to comment on. Now, in the few minutes we have left tonight, please go back with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Go back with me now to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, so we don't lose place of where we are in this great battle of our study. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For in flesh walking, that's your daily life. In flesh walking, we live in the flesh. Not according to the flesh, two different prepositions. In flesh walk, according to the flesh, we do not war. We do not war according to the flesh, the wisdom of the flesh, thinking of the flesh. We live each day in our normal life, but we're in a war. And we're going to enter into this war, not by the flesh, but by the spiritual. Verse 4. And this helps us now. What is our weapon? How are we going to fight in this war? For the weapons, and here it is told to you. I don't have to make it up. I don't even have to imply. It's right here. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, wisdom of the flesh, IQ of the flesh, thinking of the flesh, strength of the flesh. Now, I know what happens to a lot of you people that are suffering from stress, anxiety, and depression. Boy, you've just got to pull yourself up, and you've got to overcome all these things. That's very American, and I love it as much as anyone, but it's destroying the Christian life. We all love movies where you're really down, and everybody's against you. You fight, and you come back up, and boy, it just makes a great movie, but it makes a lousy Christian life because you don't do that in the Christian life. God does it. You trust Him. It's just Him. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful. And what have we already seen that is? The Holy Spirit. For the destruction of fortresses. What are these fortresses? These are the fortresses that are in your soul, that have been built there by Satan's lies. Now, look for a moment at Proverbs 21. Keep that in mind now. Keep this verse in mind. Look at it before you turn. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Now turn to Proverbs 21 with me. I'll show you something really cool. Proverbs 21. This is cool. Proverbs 21, 22. I wish we had time to really study this one because it'll help us. It's used in the military sense, but we can apply it to our study in stress, anxiety, and depression. Proverbs 21:22. A wise man scales the city of the mighty and brings down the stronghold in which the mighty trust. A wise man scales the city of the mighty and brings down the stronghold in which That's the enemy. Trust. Now, I'm just going to tell you very quickly what you have going on here. What is the stronghold? Who's the enemy? The enemy is Satan. And how can we just simplify his stronghold? His stronghold on us and our soul is Satan's lie that we have studied. Let me tell you something, people. If you just tear that down, trust me here. Well, don't trust me, but understand here. You've thrown down his power over you. If you will quit living in Satan's lie, you have really weakened his strength on you. If you have stopped living under any concept of performance, which most pastors preach, because they see it in the Bible, the Mosaic Law, do and do, do and do, do whatever our list is, and the opinion of others, especially certain others. The opinion of certain others, if you can tear that down, because this is a stronghold that's in our soul, Satan's lie, and if you can allow the Holy Spirit to tear that down, you have taken away one of his most vital powers over you. Think with me common sense here for a moment, or at least on the surface of life. Whoever's opinion controls you, their opinion of you, they control you. If a woman, if her life is controlled by the opinion of her husband, he controls her. He can lift her up and she thinks she's absolutely great, and then he can slam dunk her to where she thinks she's absolutely nothing. How can I break him of doing that? Take away his stronghold. Take away the stronghold that who you are is his opinion of you. You take that away. Look what you've done to him. He no longer controls you that way. He no longer can slam dunk you. Your parents can no longer tear you up. Your friends, a preacher in the church, deacons, people in life, children, others. As long as their opinion of you matters so much that that's your self-worth, they control you. I hope you understand that. Whosever opinion you have such regard for that is your self-worth, they control you. How are you going to weaken that? Take away their stronghold. I didn't say a word about taking away love in a marriage. I said nothing about taking away love in a family. I said nothing about enjoying people in life. I did say, let's tear down a stronghold that someone has over you that makes you feel so bad. The standards in America, well, by this point I ought to own this or be driving that or wearing this or living here or living there. That's a stronghold in the soul that'll destroy you. It controls you. So what we want to do is we want to take the enemy, take away his stronghold inside of our soul, so they have no power. Look at the Proverbs again. A wise man scales the city of the mighty and brings down the stronghold in which they, that mighty person that's controlling them, puts their trust. See, this is Satan's trust, is the lie. You have to decide what a wise man is. Is the wise man the man who learns lots of doctrine and then applies it, or is very moral and takes his self-worth on that, or one who gets charismatic experiences, or one who serves God? Is the one who does all of this stuff, is he the wise man, or is that humble little Christian who dares to just trust God? Is that wisdom? You have to decide what wisdom is to you. I can't tell you. But if you're hurting tonight, I can tell you probably the one of the reasons you're hurting from stress, anxiety, and depression. Because you don't understand what wisdom is. And wisdom is just trusting him. Not your self-worth based on Satan's lies. If you will allow the Holy Spirit to open your eyes all through Scripture, the wise man, you will see it over and over. If you'll allow yourself to see it, the wise man in the Bible is the man who simply trusts. I trust your Son to salvation. I trust your Spirit for my life. I'm trusting you to bring down the fortresses that I have built in my own soul. They're my fault. But you will bring them down if I trust you to do it. So don't we walk in the flesh? We do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. The power in you to tear down the fortresses is the Holy Spirit. Trust Him to do it. Why? Now see why this is true. Because we do not struggle against flesh and blood. People, if we struggled, if it was just a matter of struggling against flesh and blood, then I guarantee you I'd be right along with everybody else giving seminars on how husbands and wives ought to be and how this and how we need to learn strategy and how we need to learn tactics and how we need to do this and how we need to do that. And believe me, I'd be leading you astray. I'd be taking you right into Satan's lie. Look what the Bible says. Who's your enemy? Invisible forces of darkness and power and the rulers of the world. You think you're ever going to learn enough to combat them? Look what God has given inside your soul, His Holy Spirit. Look who your enemy is. Look what God has given you. Now you decide which is wise. To use what God has given you, the Holy Spirit, to handle this battle, or you're still going to try to outthink them. This brings us to verse 5, where we'll start next week. We're going to get to look at these fortresses. Look at verse 5 with me in closing. We'll study this next week. We are destroying speculations and our arguments and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. What's raised up against the knowledge of God? Satan's lie. We are opposed to the knowledge of God, true knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and we'll see what that means. Let's go again and word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you take the things that we looked at tonight, to allow your Spirit to make these things understandable in the souls, especially those who experience stress, anxiety, and depression. They may be set free of these things. Be set free of stress and depression. See why these things happen, and then why faith is the simple solution to them. If we can understand why, as Father is what we try to do tonight, then we can understand why faith is what will remove it. I pray, Father, that this faith will get in the hands of people who hurt. Not in the hands of those who don't need it, but in the few hands of people who experience death, anxiety, and depression as believers in Christ. And that your Spirit can turn on a light of freedom and liberation and being set free of these things without costing them a dime. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.